Welcome. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast for the needle workers and ground cloth stabbers and all those folks. And here we are, sponsored by the Sassy Jack Stitchery, as it is each and every time we gather here. Kim, like all shop owners, filling those online orders. Keep them busy. I'll tell you, folks, keep them busy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all, I know Kim is really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every other one I've talked to is having trouble keeping up. And that's the idea. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, it sure is.
Yep. So we're coming down to the end of April here. So get your hand of Longstreth kits at Sassy Jack's because we're starting May 1. 15% off still at Sassy Jack's. And Kim has all the materials in stock. So she can ship out. So 15% off. Then the Royal Garden, 15% off. Vonna's birthday on July 5. Got a little time there, but we all know how fast that flies. And then mm-hmm. be sure and check out Elizabeth Cooper, the Jesus Wept sampler that Kim is offering for free download. And then she has kits, linen and thread kits all put together. Somebody finished that the other day, or today I saw it. Somebody finished that thing. That's a nice little sampler.
You know, one of these days I'm going to sit down and finish something too.
Well, that'll just be a banner day. The world will stop for a moment.
I tell you what, one of these days we're both going to get about 5 minutes to rub together to make 10 and finish something.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, that'll be quite a day in the old calendar there. Yep. I'm plugging along on my Debbie Rowley Opal one. That's
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Getting a little progress on that. I got to go back though, because there's a lot of fill in, which is two strand floss. So I got to lay it, so it's a little tedious, but it's not that big of a project. So I want to fill it in. I was tempted to mm-hmm. just tear it out and leave it open, but I think it looks better filled in. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep. Yeah.
I think that it won't be long and I'll have an Anasazi song finished too.
Won't be long. Yeah, you're smoking on that thing. Man.
Yeah, I think I am going to be finished.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
It is. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to frame yours, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll event. Yeah, when we're able to go to a shop to get it framed, it'll get framed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to put a mat? I was going to ask this, and this may be a lot of people that are just starting needlework. Do you usually put a mat around those or
yeah.
what?
Yeah. Usually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like that. Doesn't always have to be a lot of mat, but I think I like the way it sets it off and gets it away from the frame.
Mm-hmm. So. And then how do they, I'm asking a lot of questions, but I was thinking about that because, see, I frame all my own stuff.
I know.
And I have a mat cutter, you know, for, you know, finishing, and it's a professional grade one. So I can get like a big, I can cut the windows myself. And so how do they stretch it on a, how do they do that? Do they put it on foam core and stretch it around like you would linen or what?
Yeah. 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 It gets laced. Gets laced on.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if they use board or acid-free board or foam core. I'm not sure which. But, yeah, it gets laced. Yeah, all that. I think needlepoint canvas, I think you almost have to lace because it's so stiff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it mm-hmm. gets laced, yeah.
Okay, well, yep. I was just wondering about
you can
that.
Frame. I'm sure you could have be able to do it no problem at all, especially if you're able to cut the mat, yeah.
Yeah, I can. And if not, do you know that people, like, at Hobby Lobby or Michaels, they'll custom cut mats for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Custom cut?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That you give them you tell them what you want. They'll measure it, you know, and so they would measure the window opening for the piece, and then they'll cut it for you, right? You can, and they'll cut glass too. Now they can't cut, and they'll do it like it depends on how busy they are. You know, I know at least at mine, that they might say like, oh, give me 2 hours or whatever. But yeah, they'll cut glass and they'll cut custom cut mats and even like your foam core and all of that for your frame. And you can, and that's how a lot of times I get my frames made and my glass and everything from Michael's, and then I come home and I put it together myself.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have them put one together, but geez, mm-hmm. if they'll do all the pieces for you.
Mm-hmm, they will. And then I have like the spacers. So like on my cross stitch and stuff, I don't like to have maps just because I think that it kind of detracts from the smallness, you know, the small stitches of a cross stitch and stuff. Yeah. I think it sometimes detracts. So I don't put mats on those. And I usually like to have a very narrow margin, like, or none to the edge of the frame. I like to just frame them like really close, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'll come home and do it there. And I have spacers. I have bought spacers, acid-free spacers. They're just like plastic bubble tube stuff that you can fit along the edge of the frame, lip of the frame, and it spaces so the linen doesn't touch the glass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't like that. Yeah, you want to be careful of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that it'll breathe and stuff. But anyways, yeah, so I have all that. I've got, like, I bought probably a lifetime supply of that one time, and I have all that here. So I do I do all my own framing here.
Some of that material, you don't have to buy a lot to buy a lifetime supply.
yeah, exactly.
See, but exactly. Now with the Anasazi song, with the other two, because I want to stitch the other two.
Yeah,
see
me
what,
too.
See, it's... I can't decide, and usually it's Margaret that decides, whether they should each be framed separately
mm-hmm.
or if they should be in, you know, in a, like a three window thing, a three mat mm-hmm. window thing on one frame.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do mine separately.
Yeah. Cause that would be big.
It would be big. And then like on her, they're all made to either be vertical or horizontal too. Did you know that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like now I could see them all hanging vertically in this one space that I have. But then I would think, you know, sometimes they could be on this short wall and they could all be, you know, horizontal. So, yes, I too want to do all three of them. As a matter of fact, I was looking at them last night before I fell asleep.
And see, so. And because I've thought, well, mine's been sitting around for a while. So I've thought about it more than once because the fact that they can be either orientation makes you think, well, what about two vertical and one at the bottom, horizontal?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because you can start to play with that.
Yeah, or either two vertical and the horizontal on the top
yeah,
or something.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, the horizontal on the top makes me think it would look like pie. I don't know if I want that, but...
Oh shoot.
Then you need an equal sign and 3.14, see it. I don't think we want to go the math route with that, but yeah, I've thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause yeah, it could go several ways. Yeah.
Yeah. They're beautiful though. I was looking at that one. I was looking at them. Okay. So ours that we've done is on like a gray light gray canvas, I think, or isn't it like a light almost white gray?
Yeah.
And then the one there's a green canvas one, and I'm like, I don't know if I like that green one.
I don't like that one. No, I thought I would do them all in the same canvas.
Okay.
Because yeah, that one, it's like, whoa, no, I don't think so.
No. It doesn't go. Yeah, okay, good. So I'm glad to know that you said that you're going to do them on all of them. So.
And see, and I'm not a green fan anyway, and that's just
I'm
kind
not
of
either.
An ugly green, and I don't mm-hmm. like it, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah, okay, good. When I saw that last night, I was like, oh, that's, I don't know if I like that. But she has another one that I really am, I almost bought it last night in bed.
She's dangerous. You got to be careful on her site. Yeah.
Oh,
this
she is
Carol Lake. For those who don't know who did Anasazi song, Carol Lake Stitch Play Designs. Yeah.
Yeah. She is. And it's so nice because now you can get them, you know, just PDF downloads. And that's, I know that some people say that's not good for the industry and all that stuff, but I don't know. I really like that as a stitcher, you know, because I can get it and then I can start deciding on what I want to do. But her one, it's called In a Purple Passion is the name of the design. And I don't like I mean, I like purple, but I don't have anything purple in my home. But she has an alternate colorway, which is ecrus and whites, and it is in like tans, and it is fantastic. And that I really want to do that one too.
Now I got to see that. Hang on, I got to see that now.
It is fantastic. It's right beside the thistle if you're on her. Underneath Celtic Fantasy or Celtic Fantasy.
Listen to you. It's right below, above this. It's the third one on the left side. Because I've studied it. I'm Vana.
I love it. Oh, I love that one.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that we should, and on an audio thing, we shouldn't be talking about things people can't see. Now, see that? Yeah, but see, I do that purple one.
Oh, you would do the purple one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are see, you a now, purple guy
now,
too?
Now see what you've done.
That one is beautiful. Look at all the stitches that it has in there. And I just love the white and the tan and the ecru ones because I feel like it's reminiscent of like white work. That's why like that one.
Yeah, see what you've done.
There's several on here. Like, okay, so Michael Boren has one called Appalachian Spring. I want to do that one too.
All right, stop it. Just stop it. That's it.
The Appalachian Spring one.
I just turned it off.
Fantastic.
No, I just turned it off. That's it. No. That's it. I turned it off. That's it. No more. No more from you. See, I like purple. I like purple because, well, it gets closer to blue. So
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
So I like purple. I mean, there's some purple things that. Yeah, no thanks. But most of them I'll go for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be one of them. Yeah, she's good.
Yeah, she is.
And she and Michael are good too. The stuff they've done together. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about these charted canvases. There's so many really good designs that are good in terms of visually appealing. But also in terms of the fun of stitching them.
Right.
See, you get both.
Mm-hmm.
You get a really nice product at the end, but you have a heck of a lot of fun stitching them because there's so many different things to do with so many different threads.
Right. And yeah. I think that's what I've really enjoyed about the, about Anasazi Song is that you have your hard stuff. But then yet you have like relaxing, just repetitive stuff that's not hard.
Right.
And I have really enjoyed stitching it. And that's how come I've gone so fast. When I really enjoy something, I can just zoom. And
you've been eating that thing up. Yeah, you've been flying.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have really enjoyed it. Like I look forward to setting down. You know, there's some nights where I'm just like all in, but yet I'll think, oh, I just want to put a few stitches in. You know what I mean? So I really have enjoyed it. I really have.
Yeah. Because we were, you know, somebody asked Monday night in the show if Debbie Rowley's stuff was hard.
Uh-huh.
And I really struggled to answer that question because, I mean, yeah, there's some needlework that I think is flat out hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just hard. Like the Queen Sampler, that's hard.
It's hard. Yes, it
you
is.
Know, it's still doable. I never view anything as not doable, but some of it is just flat hard.
Yes.
And it takes some doing.
Mm-hmm.
But like Debbie Rowley, Carol Lake, most of those, there's a lot to them. They're challenging. You're working with different threads, but is it really hard? Because that's what I wanted to ask you. Now, double fan doubled. Usually that freaks people out. And you flew right through those things.
Yeah, I didn't even ask you for help. No. I just did it.
And I was prepared to help you.
Yeah.
And you flew right through them. And they are tight. You know, you got them. And and so I look at what is hard. And then you look at the gold work thing that you started from the EGA class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready for a 3 texts and a phone call with you gnashing your teeth over gold work, and then you trotted right through that. And see, it just underscores for me that with good instruction and a little patience, that none of this is particularly hard. It's just different.
Well, and I think that, okay, so on the gold work, I had been exposed through Fiber Talk by listening to different people about kind of under, you know, like if you listen to them, you can kind of understand what they're saying. You know what I mean? Kind of. And not that the gold work basket that I'm doing is had that great of instructions, because it really did. It really didn't. But I had looked into it myself a little bit, like when, cause I didn't know what gold work was when I first heard about it on Fiber Talk. And so I had to like research it and do stuff like that. And there's a PDF thing by Jane Standwix that I happened to stumble across. Anybody can stumble across it because I found it. And she kind of like goes step by step about how you think about it. And so that helped me on the gold work. Now, the Anasazi song on the Double Fan Double, that was just good instructions. And because she had, Carol Lake had very good instructions. Now, it took me, I had to read them like five times.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Before I understood exactly what she was saying. But, you know, I didn't struggle with it. But you know what, Gary, I think more than anything, if we would have done this, if I would have done, took this on a year ago, I would have flipped out and I would have been, I can't do this.
Really?
Why did I buy this? But I think it's all about, I have gained so much self-confidence in my abilities because I tackled the queen. Now I'm acting like I have the queen done, and we all know that I do not have the queen done, but just the four or five bands that we have done on the queen, and I have gained so much confidence in my abilities, and not that I'm a master needle worker, I'm not, but I just got enough confidence in myself that I think, you know what, I can do this, and I'm not going to freak out about it. And if I get upset, I just take a, you know, I take a step away a little bit, kind of like when I was doing algebra when I was in high school. Wasn't the best math person in the world, and I had to have a lot of math in my career as a student because I was in the STEM, you know, and it was in a STEM degree. So I would always just like freak out. And then when I felt myself freaking out, I would just walk away and come back to it 10, 15, 20 minutes later. And I always could figure it out then after I like took a step away.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of learned to do that in stitching here with, you know, last, you know, like working on the queen and stuff. And I feel pretty good about it. I feel like there's not very much that I couldn't tackle and eventually succeed at. And I feel like if everybody approaches it like that, that you, we all can do that. You know, there's some people that just don't want to do anything except what they're doing right now, whether that be needlepoint or cross stitch. And I was one of those people. I thought, you know, when you started talking about, oh, this and that, I thought, yeah, blow that out your nose, Gary. I don't want to do any of that. You know what I mean? I really didn't. I had no desire to do it. And now it's like, I can't get enough of other stuff. You know, like I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's why I feel so, I don't know. I just really like, I'm really excited about this gold work project, and the, there's, you know, it's got gold work in it and it's got black work in it. I've never done black work before, really. And, you know, needlepoint, I just can't get enough needlepoint. And, so anyways, I don't know. It's making me all excited about.
Well, but see, that's the thing. That's the thing about this is, you know, years and years, I mean, decades for you of doing nothing but cross stitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've dabbled in other things from here, you know, here to there, but nothing, you know, nothing that goes very far from basic cross stitch.
No, right. You're right.
You,
yes.
You pretty stayed in your lane, pretty much stayed in your lane.
Yes.
But then when you start to see what else there is to do, and how, and that it is doable, you know, and it is, to me, you set aside the question of, is it hard? Is it an expert level thing? It's needle and thread.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud, that's all it is. It's a strand of fiber of some kind and a needle and a piece of cloth.
Yes.
And are you more intelligent than that? I think anybody is. And so it's just what you do with it. And Yeah, sometimes what you know, what it calls for makes you have to, yeah, get a little frustrated and step back and think about it. But it's, you know, it's just stuff that's attached to a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
And so you take a couple runs at it, practice it a little bit, and I think, yeah, I think just about all of it's doable. Yeah, I mean, there are some things that really take some experience to do, and certainly take experience to do well. There's no question. But I struggle with that question. Is it hard? Nah, I don't think so.
No.
Is it going to make you pay attention? Yeah. Yeah, it'll make you pay attention. Is it going to make you have to take a couple runs at it? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But is it hard? No. No, I don't. I struggle with that. I really do. And so.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's, you know, dive in. And well, it's like, yeah, you have really gotten into this charted canvas stuff. But I can tell, see, that's the thing, is I can tell not only can you not get enough, but there's a new level of enthusiasm that you have that when we first started doing this was not there. You were just doing cross stitch so you could finish it, so you could hang it on your tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you just pounded through them just because that was your mantra.
Well, and I think, too, that it's also, and I'm certain that other people have noticed this, too, but have you ever noticed, like, in Facebook groups or in Instagram, and this is fine if that's what the focus is, that's what my focus was there's many people that will word their social Instagram, or their social media things with starting out like this, 17th finish of the year, 18th finish of the year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's a race or something, you know, like how many finishes can you get in a year? And I was of that mindset. You know, I honestly was. And now I'm like, you know, I don't care. I mean, I'm just having a good time and I'm learning and I'm growing. And I mean, it's just like when you don't like Brussels sprouts and then you try cabbage and think, gosh, this is really delicious. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's like a whole new thing that you get to like explore and learn about. And I've just really had... I mean, I just really like, yes, I have a whole new enthusiasm, a whole new mindset about stuff. And, you know, I think that's good, I think, in a lot of ways. It's refreshed my feelings about stitching in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and there are always people, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being my 28th finish of the year. You know,
right.
I keep pounding through them. And, you know, that's the hobby for some people.
Right.
But then you'll often hear those people say, you know, I've just kind of lost my enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And my response to that is go try something else.
Mm-hmm.
Go pick up a needlepoint thing. Go pick up a hardanger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even just a simple little tiny one and just try it. And
right.
You might find something you like.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. These days, there's so many free ones in every technique. There's so many free ones that designers have put up. Just little 3 or 4 inch square pieces that you can pick up and do with Stash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go download one and give it a try. You might find that it's fun. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many options, but
I think too that people think, oh well, I don't have any access to taking a class, or I don't have money to take a class. Hey, I haven't taken classes either.
Right.
And a matter of fact, I almost like. Don't want to take. I know that sounds crazy. And I know that you've ribbed me about it, but hey, I'm fine. I don't need anybody to teach me anything. But but I just kind of like trying to, it's like a puzzle. And it's almost like I have to like figure it out and see. And then when you do it and you get it done, it's like, what a sense of accomplishment, you know?
Yeah.
So I haven't had any classes either. And I have noticed that there are several needlepoint designers that are contemplating online classes and saying, you know, like I've seen the question posts in different groups, online groups, that how would you feel if I would, you know, offer this class and blah, 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 blah. Would you be interested? And people are like, yeah. And I think that is the new and exciting thing in the future that we all have to look forward to, is that I believe that there is going to be a huge thing for online classes. Why? I think one thing is that this pandemic is going to change a lot of ways things about how we think about travel, and things like that. You know, I really do think it is going to change the way we think about stuff. And, you know, a lot of us have all been stuck in our homes for, you know, many weeks now, and you can come. I know that some people aren't sheltering. I mean, you know, they don't like it, but it's like, for me, I've learned, you know, my husband said, I mean, that's what my husband said. You could just stay in here and not ever go outside the four walls, like, for weeks, couldn't you? And I said, yep, I don't have to leave ever. I mean, I go for my walk and stuff like that every day, but I haven't driven a car for how many weeks have we been in here? Like 4, 5, 6 weeks. Right. I have not driven a car and, you know, and it's just, whatever, you know, and I think that you got to be comfortable in your, you know, if you're comfortable in your own home and there's some way that you can bring that into your home, you know, pay a little bit for the online class, get a kit or whatever and learn online. What a wonderful thing. I mean, to me, that as a kind of a homebody, that's a great thing. My kids say I'm agoraphobic. I'm not agoraphobic. I just like my house. I just like being here. But anyways, I think that's a big thing. And the EGA classes that I'm taking, I mean, they're not like where you have like videos or anything, but they are online classes. And then they have chat rooms set up where you can go ask the teacher questions if you get stuck on something, or email her. And so I don't know. I really like that. I really like that form of learning, I guess.
Well, that's, you know, like Debbie Raleigh has started a class. So you can go to her website and just join and do that. And she has a design that she's made so that it's simple to do, and you can do it with your stash, so you can just join and go. And that's the one thing that I think is neat, or a positive. I shouldn't say neat, but a positive that will come out of this quarantine situation is, so many people, designers, have had a little time and have figured out how to do online things. Have taken, you know, because you always need that kind of, if I just had a day, I could figure it out. And then I could start to, and now they've had those days and they're starting to figure out the technology and figure out how powerful it is. And and so then you start to see these things pop up. And the option to go learn from someone and take a class, and you're not going anywhere anyway, so you might as well.
And I mean, if you think about it too, you're saving the cost of travel.
Right.
I mean, if you have to travel somewhere, you know, I had a great time going down to Sassy Jack's. I know that I'll have a great time going down there again sometime, but you still have to travel 8 hours to get down there, and the cost of gas and then your lodging and eating while you're down there. I mean, it turns out to be quite costly when you go away to go to a retreat or go to a class or whatever. And, you know, you don't have those expenses, you know, inside your home. So I think that it's a really kind of a great thing. And I hope that we see more of it. You know, I really do, from people that you can get into classes like that, because it's a fantastic thing. It makes it accessible for all, if you're disabled and you can't get out, you know, there you go. If you have an immune system that doesn't allow you to be around people, well, then there you go. If you have small children at home and you can't travel, well, then here it is. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's what I find. If you're just like an old lady like me and want to just stay at home, there you are. You know what I mean?
Well, now you're only 49, Vonna. You're only 49.
I know,
so
right now, so I'm not quite an old lady.
Cling to that.
But I mean, I just think that it's a really great thing.
Yeah.
Or at least it is for me. Now, some people would say, well, you don't have the social interaction and stuff like that. But then yet again, I feel like we can say, you know, ourselves, look at how much social interaction we've had by our quarantine stitch hours that we have. I mean, it's almost like a fellowship. Yeah. I don't know what these people look like, but I know what their name is, and I know what their, you know, what their kind of what their character is, or their whatever, their sensibility, how they talk and stuff like that, how they write questions, how we interact on the board, and you form like a friendship. And so you do have, that's my, you know, that's, I've really enjoyed getting together and stitching with these people that I are strangers, I guess, in a lot of ways, three times a week, and they've become friends. I feel like I know them, and they know my silly stuff and your silly stuff, and you know, and they
yeah, they know more about us than we about them. Yeah, that's for sure.
Probably that's true.
That is for sure.
But I've really enjoyed doing that and getting to know people, and you know, so anyways, I think that there is a whole new different kind of, you know, friendship and fellowship that's coming about. You know, they said that the internet made the world smaller. Well, I think now after the pandemic hopefully gets done, that we'll see that even more. So more friendships and more fellowship. So
there's definitely going to be some positives. And that's the thing with our live shows, is it isn't just U.S. people. We've got people from all over the world joining us, and some setting their alarm and getting up in the middle of the night to join us. And, you know, and that, to me, that is so much fun, and so grateful to have, you know, Sharon and Jessica and others who have joined us in the middle of the night from Europe. And, and you know, that is so cool that there's something there for them that it's worth getting up in the middle of the night and joining us. And then, you know, the people from Australia, New Zealand, and that's, yeah, those live shows, what we're, you know, depending on the day, 400 to 500 people that are joining us in one capacity or another. And it's neat. I know Monday night I felt, wow, that is really cool that so many people are coming together and just exchanging and stitching and watching, and it becomes this massive gathering that, I mean, it's fun. Yeah. So
it is. It is fun. And we, it's not like 100 people or so. It's like we've been hitting 400, 500 people for the stitch ins. And so that's like, that's fantastic. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. And I mean, so fantastic that they're saying, okay, when this is over, are we still going to do this? You know? And it's like, well, you know, you got to think about that, because it's a lot of time involved to do it. But, you know, that's one of the things that you and I are discussing, how much more, I mean, how many times do we want to do this after the, you know.
We're definitely going to continue. It's just how much. I enjoy, we both enjoy doing it. It's just how much. Because, those hour shows, I know for me, there's between an hour and 2 hours of prep work to make that happen. For each one, and I, you know, I'm happy to do it, but at some point, how many weeks can we do that? So we're going to keep doing it. There's no doubt, but it's just how frequently. So and it's fun. I enjoy it. You know, the other night there, just stitching away and talking is fun. And so many other people are enjoying it, and it's worth it. And you know, on the Mother's Day thing, I'm looking forward to the Mother's Day thing. Even though I'm going to get humiliated, I'm looking forward to an afternoon of how many X's can we make in 4 hours?
You know, well, that's true. But, you know, it's going to be a challenge to keep it, you know, you say 15-minute shows. It's going to be a challenge for us to keep it to 15 minutes each.
I know. We got to shut up.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a real challenge. So.
I know. I've thought about that too. All right. We got to learn to shut up.
Yeah. Move on.
It's 15 after. We're out. Goodbye. Got to stitch.
Yeah. We've been good, though, on the at stitch hour, I feel like. We've kind of messed up the last couple of times and gone longer. But, you know, for the most part, it was like, okay, it's 9 o'clock. Time to see you later. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've done really good about that. But
man, that hour flies fast. It goes fast.
It does go fast. I mean, that's when I was doing the gold work this weekend. I thought, oh, I'm going to have this whipped out in no time. And 6 hours later, it's like, good Lord, am I going to finish this? You know, by the time to go to bed. And I did. But I mean, it just flies when you're really concentrating or, you know, having a good time. So.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see more of that gold work. And I've got a piece coming from Natalie Dupuis that her Vincent van Gogh, I should really learn what it's called, but I'm anxious to get started on that and give that a try. And now your success has really given me that extra little push now. Okay. All right. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Yours is going to be fun because yours is so abstract. Mine is so linear. You know what I mean? That it was, you know, so Yeah, I mean, mine is going to be easier than yours in a lot of way because mine's done on linen. So I have like a row, you know, linens to follow, and you won't because yours is going to be like all, because yours is what, silk on the background? Yeah. So
yeah, I don't think anything's straight.
Yeah,
it's all curved. So that's all right. We'll see. Yeah. We'll tackle it. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I'm certain that you will do fine, fantastic, beautiful work. So
hey, we'll try. We'll try. Well, it's, you know, something new.
Yep.
And you see, you take a run at it. And if it comes out good, it's going to be a cool piece. So
it's a beautiful piece. Yeah.
Well, it's like yours. You know, when you get that done, that's going to be a beautiful piece. Because I when you first chose it, I thought, oh, standard basket of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at it. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's pretty neat design.
And I think that the picture that is, it has on the EGA website is pretty, but when you get it, when you get the kit and you see what's in the kit and then what you have to do to get there, it's much more detailed than what that picture shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't get it that it was even metalwork was on. I did not, when I ordered it, I didn't understand that there was that much gold work on it. And I mean, it's all throughout.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. You'll be an expert by the time you're done.
Well, I don't know about that. I was looking at it last night and I thought, oh gosh, this doesn't look so good right here. This doesn't look so good. Maybe I should just rip this all out. And I thought, now listen, Bonnie, you got to chillax about, you know, ripping it all out. It's your first time you've ever done anything.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So.
Well, yeah, yeah. You got to, things like that, you got to look at, all right, I'm going to go through the process and gain the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you, because otherwise, yeah, you'll bog yourself down.
Yeah. I just want to be like a perfectionist at everything.
Right.
You know, from the very first thing. And it's like, you know, listen, you can't be perfect at, you know, right the very first time. So yeah,
you got to gain the experience.
Right.
And then the next one, that's when then you apply. Because I know that I bogged myself down more than once where, oh, this is not perfect. I can't. And you got to, you got to talk to yourself. Say, I'm going to get through, I'm just going to get through it and do the best I can. And then I'm going to take that experience and apply
move
it
on
the
to the
time.
Next one. Yep. You're right.
And then the next one will just be that level better. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Got to talk to yourself though.
And I mean, I'm looking forward to doing the Krista West embroidery thing too. Cause I have really never, ever done embroidery, you know, hand, just surface embroidery. I mean, maybe when I was a little girl, I did those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday towel things, you know, but I've never done anything else. And, so I'm anxious to do that because I really want to do a Trish Burr one. I mean, I look at, you know, I follow her on Instagram and I think, my God, that looks like that bird can just fly off of that cloth. And I want to do that. I want to have something that pretty. So anyways, there's so much I want to do. Yeah.
There's a lot of really good surface embroiderers in this world. Really good ones.
Yeah, but, and it seems like a lot of them are from Russia.
I know. But when you see a Trish Burr thing, it's like, really, lady? You know, there's a lot of really good people, but you're right. That bird looks like a photograph of an actual bird in the woods.
Yeah.
How do you do that with thread?
Right.
Yeah. And she just cranks them out. I mean, they're just, every one of them is like that. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having one of those. And that's the thing with surface embroidery. I mean, I've done some of it, and it's a strange feeling because you don't have that limit of come up this hole, go down this hole.
Right.
And it's a strange feeling. And for me, it's hard to get over. Is, wait, I can just put this anywhere? Well, wait a minute here. I don't know if I want to just put it anywhere.
Right.
Somebody tell me where, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, my leaf can curve this way if I want it to? All right.
Well, you'll kind of get over that when you do your gold work, I think. Because, I mean, even though I'm doing mine on linen and I do have holes to come up and down in, you still, it's just all free form. It's no counting, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of hard, you know, to figure that all out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're holding threads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, you got no, yeah. Yeah. It's just where you put them and then you start your pattern and then how consistently you stick to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Good challenges. Yep. So we've had a lot of discussion. I wanted to spend a few minutes about stands. People have asked a lot on the quarantine shows, and we've demonstrated your case creation stand numerous times. But we've had several discussions, and I thought it was interesting that when people say, well, what stand should I buy? And like so many things, the answer is it depends.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no hard answer. Like, buy this one because it will work for everything.
Yeah.
No. Because I look at, you know, we both have the Case Creation metal stands.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I put something on a Millennium frame, like a big sampler, that Case Creation goes in the corner. I have to have my other stand with the big arms to rest that that scroll frame on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's yeah, the Case Creation is terrific, and I think they have holders for scroll frames. But then there I am. I need to have that rack to sit it on,
and mm-hmm.
that's where I feel most comfortable. So I think that's a tough question to answer. Which one? Because and then each one is different. When you look at the Lowry stand and the way it functions compared to the Case Creation, compared to the System 4, they all have different functions, different ways that they control and handle your stretcher bars or your Q-snaps or whatever. And it's, yeah, you kind of just have to go, well, all right, here are the features they have, and this is how I stitch. And this is what I do the most of, so this fits me best. And,
right.
Yeah.
You really do have to think about that. And I know that I have a lot of stands, but I feel like you need to, if you're a true hobbyist and you stitch every day, and you stitch different things in different ways, I think you need to have more than one stand. That's my take, because I use more than one stand every day. And I know people probably, that sounds like I'm sitting around stitching all the time, and that's not true. But I do stitch a little in the morning. I try to stitch at least a half an hour every morning, and then I stitch in the evening upstairs in my bedroom. And so in the morning, I come down here, and that's because I'm down in my basement. And I have my Case Creation set up down here because we're filming down here. I was carrying it up and down whenever we were doing it. And then I was finally like, this is ridiculous. I'm just keeping it down here in the basement. And so I have something set up down here on my Case Creation. And then upstairs, I cracked out my Needlework System 4 again, and I have it upstairs. Uh-huh. And, you know, my Needlework System 4 was my first stand. And I have it both in the floor stand variety and the lap stand variety. I have always been a huge, I love my Needlework System 4 stand, and I still do. I still love it. But I must say that the Case Creation is my probably ultimate favorite because it's so universal. I mean, it honestly is just so universal that I really do like it. And you can like just custom fit it to where you're sitting, the chair that you're sitting, the height that you're sitting. On either side, you know, however you want to configure it. And it's so versatile, but that's why I really like that one. But then, you know, then again, when I need to be mobile, I really do like that fanny frame too, because, you know, that's just so, you just, you know, screw that all apart, lay it down flat, throw it in a bag, and then screw it back together. And there you go. You have a really easy frame. So, and very lightweight, doesn't take out much room and stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, you just almost, in my opinion, you know, it's like golfers need a putting thing. What do they call them? Oh, a putting club
putter.
And a,
it'd be just
yeah,
a putter. Put,
yeah. Chipper, chipping club, whatever. Yeah. You need all those different
way
clubs.
Way to go, sports, like, Fauna. Way to go.
I know, right? I know. They have all those things.
And right in your wheelhouse.
I know, right? And then you need to have your different, you know, frames. That's the way I think about it anyways. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back and talk about your arm one. Do you have an arm one? Is that, and what is it?
Well, it's one I made up because I needed a rack to lay my scroll frame on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took one of those cheap stands that you would get at Michael's or whatever, you know, those wood uh-huh. stands that was yeah. given to me. It was given to me. Uh-huh. And it had the standard head on it with the two screws and the, you know, the wood jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And I never used it because I just don't like those. Mm-hmm. To me, there's too much fiddling with them.
Right.
And so I took that off, and then I have a friend who has he's skilled remodeler, woodworker, whatever. So he has the drill press and the saws. And I went and bought, I don't know, maybe $5 worth of hardware and oak pieces at Home
uh-huh.
Depot.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the stand that the Millennium Frame people make. I forget what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And you know, all right, it's a cross piece and it's two arms with dowels on the end for your scroll frame to rest against.
Oh, okay. I get you.
See, and so I just kind of looked at it and went and bought some 1x3s and some 1x2 oak pieces. And I got oak so that I knew it would be hardwood and it mm-hmm. would hold up. And then I just went to the friend of mine and I said, all right, this is what I want to accomplish. And he immediately saw it, drilled a few holes, put in some bolts, shoved the dowels into the end and two arms, and I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this this thing that is on a really a cheap wood base that holds my scroll frame. Now, okay. would I like to have, say, a Case Creation makes one that's very nice that collapses down that is perfect. Would I like to have that? You bet. But what I built for next to nothing works just fine. And you know, because those wood stands are relatively cheap. And then any, you know, most people know somebody who has a drill press and a saw, you know, and so I was able to piece it together and it served me well. I mean, well, it's strong enough. I'll tell you, it's strong enough that when we do live shows, my laptop sits on that. I use it to hold up my laptop because the swivel part for the top, I wrapped bungee cord around it so that it had a little elasticity, but it didn't have a lot of give.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I rest the laptop right on that. I mean, it's that strong. And that's what it's sitting on when we do the live shows. And it works uh-huh. it works great. I mean, and anybody can do that for next to nothing. And then when I put those scroll frames on there, I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's my second stand. And mm-hmm. and the Case Creation does the rest. And then I have a Case Creation lap stand, tabletop stand. And then I have the same fanny frame hoop thing that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, depending on where I'm at, those for travel. See, and I think that's mm-hmm. the other thing when you talk about stands that people need to look at is mm-hmm. what kind of stitching do you do? Are you constantly going to friends or going to chapter meetings or stitch-ins or that kind of thing? And people will ask, well, how heavy is the Case Creation stand? Well, not really heavy. But I don't know if you're hauling it around all the time. Maybe it's heavier than you want. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
You take the System 4. Now that's, you know, that's something. Yeah, you got to think about if you want to haul that. So yeah. What kind of stand if you're doing that kind of thing? And for me, traveling a lot on a plane, that fanny hoop thing or the Case Creation tabletop stand, those fit in my backpack,
mm-hmm.
and so I can take them anywhere. And so mm-hmm. that allows me to set up in a hotel room and have what I need. And, you know, I think that's another question. What kind, you know, in terms of what kind of stitching do you do? Do you sit in a chair in a corner every night? Are you always going to somebody's house to stitch with them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's a different kind of thing.
Right.
And so you think about, well, then I do that kind of thing. So I need to look for stands or, lap stands that will serve me in that area.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with all that stuff. I mean, I don't travel a lot, but when I do, I certainly, am going to take that fanny frame. I'm going to have to take a project that I can do on the fanny frame. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but I will say you were the one that told me, kind of talked me into getting, the Case Creation last year. I got it this time last year and I absolutely love it. And, I really do. I just really love it. And so I don't know, but that's, then there's some people that are probably listening that look and listen to those people. They got all this stuff I stitch in hand. I would, you know, that is the ultimate.
If you could, yes.
Yeah. If I could stitch in hand, I certainly would. I cannot because, you know, 14 years ago, my doctor, I was having shoulder, elbow, and wrist pain. And my doctor was like, what do you do with your right hand? What do you do all the time that's repetitive? Do you play tennis? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, what do you do that's repetitive? And I go, I cross stitch. And he was like, what? You know, cross stitch. And he goes, you really do? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you need to stop doing that. And I was like, there's no way I can do it. I went home that day thinking I had to quit cross stitching. And I thought there's no way I could, that's what my whole brings me joy. And so that's when I started thinking, how can I do it differently? And I started researching and thank God we had the internet then, you know, and I looked and looked and looked and finally figured it out. And within a week I had my needlework system 4 delivered to my home. So, and I haven't looked back. I mean, that saved my, within a month, I had a repeat doctor's appointment. He was going to give me a cortisone shot if I wasn't feeling better. Mm. And, but within a month I was cured basically.
Yeah.
And he said, so you quit. And I was like, nope, I didn't quit. I just did something different. And I told him what I did. And he goes, well, as long as you're not doing that, you know, it was from moving my hand from the bottom of the frame,
right,
you know,
right,
to the top. That's what it was doing it. And plus my finishing, I was finishing then too. So,
yeah.
Anyways, there you go. I mean, it saved. I wouldn't be able to do. I stitched that much that I caused, you know, a repetitive motion in, you know, injury. And I'm very careful now with my wrist, and I have to be because as much as I mean, think about everything that I do. Everything I do is with my hands. Whether I'm cross stitching, I'm quilting, whatever I'm doing, finishing, you know, I'm working with my hands. And I told you the other day, and this is the honest to God truth, and people don't understand this, I don't think, but my wrists are so bad, particularly my right one is so inflamed and so bad that when we have a garden tub and I like to take a garden tub bath like 2 times a week and I can't push myself up out of using my right hand because my wrist is so sore. And you know, I mean, that's just sad. I'm, you know, 49 years old. And it's been like that for probably 5 years. I finally went to the doctor last year and he was like, well, you need to stop doing, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to stop doing that. Right. You know, I'm not going to stop doing it. And so anyway, so I have to be very, very careful. And so stitching in hand for me is like out of the question. I can't really crochet either. And I kind of used to do that too. And I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So anyways,
yeah, you have that limitation. And see, and I just don't like that movement of hand on the bottom, hand on the top, hand on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. And so for me, I want, you know, hold this thing for me and I'll put one hand underneath and one hand on top and then I can just go.
Mm-hmm.
And I just simply don't like it. And, you know, there's tools so you don't have to. So
right.
Get the tools, you know.
Right. Well, and you know, that's another thing, talking about tools. Okay, so now that we're doing, or I'm doing a lot more counted needle point than what I've done in the past, my BLT, okay, so how do you hold your laying tool? I hold mine in my left hand using my pinky, my ring finger, and my middle finger to hold it. And I have found like after a couple of hours, my whole wrist is like a gnarled claw from.
Yeah, that's bad. That's you're putting way too much tension on holding that little thing. Yeah. Ooh, Vanna.
Well, mm-mm. I think I'm not holding it tight,
but
I am holding it.
It's a little tiny piece, so you have to put some pressure on. Yeah, no, no.
And so, see, I'm thinking I need to have a bigger diameter handle You know what I mean? Like on a digger diameter. So I just curl my fingers, not have to like hold it down flat against my palm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's, see, I don't like big laying tools. I have a couple of big ones, and I just don't like them. I don't, because I feel like if I'm holding it at the handle, that the tip is so far away from my hand, I'm not able to control it like I like to. So my two favorite are the BLT, and then I have this little wood one that's maybe 3 inches long, little tiny one. Those are my favorites. I can't remember the last time because I have one of those African porcupine quill ones, big long things, and they have some pluses because they're flexible, but I hate it. And then I have a really nice, I don't know, 8 inch, 6 inch, 8 inch long wood one. It's all cut on a lathe and all the things, and I just don't like it. But you give me that BLT, and I have that in my hand. I hold that in the palm of my hand, my left hand, because that's my dominant hand, because I'm left-handed. So it stays there. So that, because that's the one that I use to lay with, is my left hand. And so I just hold it in there, and it's just in my hand all the time.
Okay, so well, now tell me this. Which hand is on the top of your canvas? Your left one?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have your dominant on the
I
top.
think
I have my dominant
I
on the
have to think
bottom.
about that. I think it is, yeah. When I'm doing needlepoint, it tends to be that way. Do I do the same when I'm cross stitching? No, I got to test. I don't think about it. Because I don't have the laying tool in my hand when I'm cross stitching, because there's no need for it.
Yeah, I keep whenever I do needlepoint, I needlepoint the same way as I cross stitch. I have my non-dominant on the top of my canvas and my dominant underneath the canvas.
Yeah, no, my right hand is underneath the canvas as I think about it. Yeah, because I always have the laying tool in my left hand, and it's always on top. So
And
yeah.
that's how I hold my BLT too. I hold it against my palm with my three non-usable fingers on my hand, just curled around it and holding it. That's how I hold my laying tool too, because then that leaves my thumb and my pointer finger available to pull the
Right.
needle up.
But you must be putting some tension on, because I mean I don't hard like I've had it slip out of my hand more than once. I'm barely holding on to it. There's no tension at all. But if you're getting that kind of pain, you must be really.
I don't have pain. I just feel like maybe if I had a bigger handle, it
Yeah,
would
well,
be more comfortable. I don't know, more comfortable. It's not
hands.
hurting,
Yeah, hands are
but
different. So yeah, try one.
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know what even kind. I really like the BLT because I like how it's metal and that when I can like rub that, run it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to get it if
Yeah.
I'm laying more than one thread, where they lay all side by side, I really do like that. And I feel like a wooden one, I wouldn't have that
No,
ability,
you would. You would. No,
Oh,
they're
okay.
smooth too. You can do the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like the BLT because it gets down to that really fine tip, that really
Yeah.
sharp point. So I really feel like I can get into things where I want to, and but no, you can do it with the wood ones. They're smooth. I mean, that's one thing. If you buy a wooden laying tool, check and make sure that it's been sanded right down and as smooth as can be, because you can buy a cheap one that's rough, and then yeah, you might as well just throw it away. But yeah, you would be able to do it. But yeah, maybe you'd be more comfortable, especially the way you beat up your hands and wrists. Maybe you'd be more comfortable with a bigger handled laying tool. It's worth a try. I mean, a lot of them are not that expensive. It's worth a try. If I had a package going to you, I'd send you mine. I
No,
don't
that's a where do
don't
you
use
do it? You
it.
get a, does that Mike's what's his name make them?
Mike's turn.
Yeah.
I think he does. I think he
I'll have to
does.
look him up and
Yeah.
see if he does.
Or would make you one.
Yeah.
But I mean, the guys who make Ort bowls and stuff, almost all of them make laying tools. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not hard to find, wooden ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I love the BLT and I've always used, if I'm using a laying tool, that's what I've always used. I mean,
Yeah.
I've gone through about three of them because I usually drop them and bend the tip or lose them or
Yeah.
something. So
you might try say wrapping some twill tape or something on the BLT at the end.
Oh, I never thought about that.
You might just try that just as an experiment, you know, put two or three layers on there and see if that doesn't make it more comfortable for you.
Yeah, I need to try that too. That's
then you,
a good
then
idea.
Then you wouldn't have to give up that tip.
Mm-hmm.
Because that tip to me is everything.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. But that, you know, you might try that. Just take some twill tape and wrap it on there or however you might attach it. You have to use some kind of tape, sticky tape of some kind, but you could do it, and then if you didn't like it, it would clean off because it's metal, mm-hmm. so you can just mm-hmm. put alcohol or something on it and solve it. But that, you know, try that. Just put, you know, do what like tennis players do. They put a little knob on the end. You might, you know, try that.
Mm-hmm.
Modify it a
bit. Yeah, I will say that, you know, I have come to do the needle point. It's almost become like second nature. Like I don't even think about it because I've done so much here recently that yeah. I just use it no matter what. And it does make a huge difference on how your threads
yeah,
look
you
when you.
Does. Oh, you bet it does. Oh, I use yeah. I use it all the time. I mean, when I do needle point, I don't think about it anymore, but I'm pretty sure I pick up the needle and the BLT at almost simultaneously before I even go to the canvas. I just, it, like, they have to be in my hand.
Yeah.
Because I use it, like, last night when on the live show there when I was doing the Jessica. I mean, I don't know, you probably didn't look because you were doing your own thing. But, you know, I use that BLT to control tension on the Jessicas and, mm-hmm. to hold them so that previous stitches don't come loose on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll pull that tight and make sure that it's tight when I make a stitch. I use it for krynek. I use it to keep krynek from getting all twisted up. Like I'll hold it up in the air away from the canvas while I'm pulling it through and then guide it down in. I use mm-hmm. it for all kinds of things, you know, in addition to laying, all to keep tension and to keep the threads, to make them behave.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just, it's got to be there. And then, like, Debbie Rowley has that trolley needle that she uses all the time. That's her standard thing. But she has one that's bent. Because regular trolley needles, those things are garbage. I have one, and you can have it for free. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do you a favor, and I'll try and throw it to Bloomington from here. And then when it lands in the trash somewhere.
I have one, and I about poke my eye out.
I know. I hate those things. But see, hers is bent. So it lays flat when she puts it down to the canvas
mm-hmm.
without her having to do something goofy with her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's what she uses all the time. That goes on her thumb and it's there all the time because it's the same thing. She needs a laying tool for all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try wrapping something on the BLT and see if it makes it more comfortable because it wouldn't mm-hmm. have to be much. Might help your hand relax a little bit. Yeah.
I have to think about, it's so small that sometimes when I just like kind of relax my hand and it falls into my fingers, well, then I'm like you, I drop it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, I've dropped mine. I don't hold it very tightly and I've dropped it more than once, but mm-hmm. yeah. But yeah, give that a try. You never know. Might be the solution. Yep. So. All right. Here we are.
We didn't talk about anything on our
list. It's been an hour. It's like when we do the Mother's Day thing, we are really going to have to make ourselves shut up. Because we're going to have Katie and Ellie giving away prizes. We're going to talk about our sponsor for that quarter hour. We're going to say how far we got, and then we're going to have to shut up.
Oh, shoot.
That's going to be a challenge. Mm-hmm.
It will be a challenge.
All right. That's going to be it. All right. So tonight, Quarantine Stitch Hour, always at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the YouTube channel. Join us and 500 of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, usual Friday night thing, usual mm-hmm. Saturday night Quarantine Stitch. Then Sunday will be Natalie Dupuy, and it's a video. So I'll do a little podcast so it goes on the podcast apps. But the real show is the video that I recorded with Natalie based on her EGA research paper on couching techniques. And so we talk about the different techniques and a little bit of the history and a lot of the technique behind them. And then she demonstrates some of that. We show through pictures or actual pieces she has what each of the techniques look like. It was a blast doing it with her. Absolute blast to do it. Learned so much. But then the following Saturday, so that will go up Sunday. So then the next Saturday, May 2nd, at 2 o'clock Eastern time on our YouTube channel, Vada and I and Natalie are going to be there. We're going to be live. So watch the video on Sunday and then live with Natalie and Vada and me. And we're going to do a live show where you can ask questions about technique, couching technique, whether it's gold work or some other type of thread, but couching techniques and how to do it, how not to do it. If you want to know about the different techniques and how they're done and so on and so forth, Natalie will be there to answer your questions. So, but I do recommend that you watch the video Sunday to get the background and then show up with your questions. And if you're going, hey, I couldn't do that, and then Natalie explained, yes, you can do it. It's quite doable. Mm-hmm. So kind of a double hitter for the for couching. And the second one being a live show that will allow you to ask questions. So we'll be there for an hour or so, whatever it takes, to get people's questions answered and for Natalie to demonstrate. And so I'm looking forward to both ends of that. I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. So that's coming up. We had a whole list of stuff we were going to talk about. Oh, well. Next time.
Next time.
Next time. All right. So thanks to Sassy Jacks for sponsoring. Get your kits from Kim, especially if you're going to do the Hannah Longstreth with us on May 1. And then we're using that on our Mother's Day thing. So join us for that. See you tonight, Wednesday night, for the Quarantine Stitch Hour. That's going to be it. Thanks.